League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast, Two Johnnies Podcast, Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to Podcast 130, coming to you from Care, County Tipperary, which has become a very popular destination for staycationers and people going on first dates thanks to this podcast. On this week's podcast, though, we discuss the social history of the Irish pub and its evolution into the future.
He claims that Marty Whelan brokered a peace deal with the Native Americans and Ice Cube used to smuggle fags for the Ra. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
The sight of Paul Mescal dancing in the new Rolling Stones music video has given her serious heart palpitations, but Maureen is still alive. She'll be here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as you're propping up your messy friend and trying to convince the bouncer, he's okay, he's okay, we round off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
for the week.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Michael and Shirley got in touch. Sunday, July 20th, myself and my good wife were returning back to Wexford after visiting family in Galway. We decided to veer off into Care, and after a quick spin around your lovely town, you'd know well it has a tidy towns committee. We made it our business to find the Shamrock. As soon as we entered, we knew we'd found the right place. People looked at us, knowing we weren't locals, but with a sense of welcome. Moments after ordering, I was looking around wondering how many of the characters are real slash fictional or a bit of both. So when the lady took our order, I asked, would you be Margaret that the two Johnnies always mention in their podcast? I am, she said. Moments later, we met, you guessed it, Huey. A very friendly man. Huey went behind the bar and got us a signed card when he heard we had purposely come into the famous lounge as we were fans of the podcast. Manchester United versus Chelsea was on the big screen in the corner. Sitting near the TV was a man chanting the name of Jack Charlton.
I wonder who that was.
I was literally going through all the characters Noel mentions, trying to figure out who he might be. When Margaret came down with the food, we chatted some more. She told me that a man that's often mentioned on the podcast was sitting behind me, Councillor Andy Maloney. I asked her, is Dermot real? And Margaret reckons that it could be Dermot O'Connor, a Kerry man. Looking around the pub, observing the many pictures and general character of the establishment, it was easy to imagine the good times enjoyed in this place. We got talking to the couple beside us. She was convinced I was the image of her son. She told me she once was told she looked like Philomena Begley.
Who was that?
Margaret made it her business to come down chatting to us after we finished our meal. She's such a lady. She was so appreciative of us calling in because we'd heard so much about the pub. And that she spoke so highly of ye would be an understatement. It wasn't just a case of saying the right things. There was a real sincerity in the manner in which she mentioned your names. She told us how it all started 5 years ago with a gig in the pub. It's not true. It's just that we weren't even going 5 years ago. Like, sorry. Margaret? Too many G&Ts, Margaret? She said that was a brilliant night. She told us too how you always were so decent in the pub and bringing in business through the GAA club as well. We even discovered through a three-way conversation between ourselves, Margaret, and the couple beside us that Johnny B was recently seen in a takeaway with a woman. We shall call.
Shock. Shock.
We shall call into the Shamrock when we're in Tipperary the next time. The food was great, the people were friendly, and it was nice to see such a tremendous sense of goodwill towards you both. Best of luck in the future. God bless. Michael and Shirley.
Oh, that's up there with one of my favourite pieces of correspondence of all time. I can tell you that now. Fair play, Michael and
we
Shirley.
We did not start 5 years ago in the Shamrock, though.
No, we did start close to the Shamrock, but not in the Shamrock. Clodo sent us in this one. Hi, lads. I got this DM the other day and the girls told me to send it to you for the laugh. This complete stranger sent me this. Just wondering, could you ask your listeners why the F-U-C-K do fellas do this? It's not the first time it's happened to me. I replied for the laugh just to see what he'd say. And, well, I got some shock at his reply. He offered €150 for the video. So just let me get this DM up for you, right?
Do you want to be your man? I'll be your one.
I'll be your man. Can you do a fetish video for me? Nothing sexual or naked. If interested, I'll spoil you. I'll want lots of videos, so great money for you.
How did you find my profile, and what videos would you be looking for?
I saw your profile when I added someone else and thought I'd ask if you were interested. How do you feel about squashing bugs like snails or crickets, etc.? Easy money. I'll spoil you if you do. I'll even buy you clothes too for future videos if you are interested. Now, I tell you, as a connoisseur
of internet videos,
I have seen some odd stuff in my time. But women squashing bugs and snails, you know, what did the snails ever do to you, you know?
The man is getting off on the snails. It's
the strangest fetish.
Take that, you slimy bastard.
I've never heard, like, is he at home, like, you know, going 90 to snails?
He's at home watching David Attenborough.
Yeah.
£150, a handy money, that, for squashing a few bugs.
Yeah, but Clodagh didn't take up the offer, I'm guessing.
No, don't do it. It's a slippery slope. Yeah. Before you know it, you'll be kicking dogs. On last week's Mara's mystery topic of premature ejaculation.
You won't hear that on national radio.
An anonymous farmer was in touch. A couple of years back, I was free and single, living the dream, swiping right to Hatton with a pulse on Tinder. I was working down in Kilkenny, so I hopped onto Tinder while eating lunch one day and matched with a grand-looking girl from the area. After a bit of chatting on Tinder, we exchanged Snapchats and decided to meet up. I was from a bordering county, so I said I'd book a hotel and stay down there and work around there for the day of the date and the next day. Anyway, cut to the chase, we got a bit of dinner, went for a good few drinks afterwards and a bit of heavy petting. We went back to the hotel. When we got down to business, let's just say the gun went off early and the load was blown after about two pumps. Oh. I thought to myself, fuck this, and tried to carry on with a fairly flaccid lad. But let's just say it wasn't going to plan.
It's a lot of detail here.
After another couple of minutes, the gun misfired again.
You'll have to get that looked at.
And I deposited a second trailer load in her. I said, fuck this, and pulled out. She looked at me with despair and said three words I'll never forget. Are you bet? Are ya bet?
Are you bet?
I didn't reply. In my intoxicated state, I just booked a one-way trip to the land down under. Thankfully, got the job done and just rolled over and went to sleep. In fairness, she was fairly gamey and came back at me the morning after for the ride before I headed off to work. The next morning, I had no bother getting the job done. Safe to say, there was no second date and no more contact since. It's a pity I never worked up around the Meath area. I'm a farmer with a bit of road frontage and a good old job with the Department of Ag. I think myself and Maura might have hit it off. Please keep me anonymous as I get enough abuse from farmers without giving them any more ammunition. Why did he never text Joanne again? Like, sure, he seemed to have a good morning, like.
Yeah. Maybe he was embarrassed after, you know, a double dose of gun going off.
Misfiring.
Misfiring.
Maura, would you have given him a second date?
Probably not. I don't know. He did the right thing and went down under. He didn't leave her hanging, so, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I thought the road frontage and the good job, Maura, would have done it for you now.
Yeah, it's kind of like, when you say land, like, how much, I need acreage here. Like,
how much we talking? Yeah. Another anonymous email came in and it says,
I love this. Is like, what height are you? 52 acres.
Another anonymous email here. When I was in first year in college, I got my first girlfriend and finally done the deed.
Woo!
Unfortunately, though, there was There were no one-night stands or challenge matches before the big championship game. It was the first time for both of us, so we were both nervous. To say I was in and out like a flash would be an understatement. I was so embarrassed. Worst part was that she was so nice about it that it made me feel worse, as in I'd let her down or something. I'd love to say that it was unreal in the replay, but not exactly. Turns out most of my friends went through this. It doesn't happen much anymore to me, but by God, it was a nine. Cheers, lads. I love his analogy of, like, you know, his first time having sex, he compares it to a championship game.
Oh, yeah.
He, you know, he didn't have to train and done. You know, he hadn't played well in the challenge games. He had no challenge games.
Yeah, your first time is like your first boxing match. You're going out swinging and then you're punched out.
Yeah.
You don't know how to mind yourself.
You should have had the tactics right.
Yeah, but you don't know how to conserve your energy, like.
Yeah. But do you go to a manager and just be like, listen, you know?
Yeah, but she, like, hey, look, a fella who's unfit just stands on the edge of the square.
He knows his limitations.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Okay, so know your role.
Colonoscopy. Here we go. Kieran said, yeah, it came up, lads, and he just had to share this gem. A good few years ago, I had a major scare with some serious stomach trouble. Ambulance called, intensive care, emergency surgery, the lot. But made a recovery. Back to Junior B football. A few years later, I started getting stomach trouble and I was getting seriously worried. The doctor sent me for a colonoscopy. Being the hardy fucker I am, didn't get fully sedated, and the consultant was there showing me the inner workings of my bowel on a screen as if it was match of the day. When he then asks, what do I work at? I answer, I'm a plumber. At that, he says rather loudly, Nola, come here. I start getting worried that maybe something bad is on screen or something. He then tells her, this lad's a plumber. Mind you, the camera is still up my arse. She then proceeds to tell me that her washing machine won't drain if I could have a look at it for her. I told her to bring it in here and give it a scope. They saw the funny side of it. I told her to check the filter, and she said she'd get the husband to do it. I was lying there thinking, what sort of place is this? Very professional. Anyway, keep up the good work. Good luck.
Oh man, how has colonoscopies become a topic on this podcast? Not
you won't get a date out of it.
Nothing ceases to amaze me. Now, coming out to your GA club, we talked about that, and an anonymous listener was in touch. I started listening to yous back in February as I was doing a pre-season running challenge, and your lovely voices and Noel's kept my legs moving around the roads. I was listening to this week's podcast and had to finally messages about the young fella trying to come out to his GAA team. I'm from a rural club and I'm bi. After a 5-year struggle, I came out to my boyfriend. It took another 5 years till I finally told my family. Thankfully, everyone took it well and myself and my boyfriend are still going strong. However, I did get that niggly feeling on nights out with the Camogie girls, knowing an extension of the family didn't know my quote situation. Eventually I told one of the girls, not a top player or one of the older team members, and said to her that she could let people know on my behalf. I reckon the whole club knows, and I've rarely had anything said to me on or off the pitch. In regards to that young lad, can't think of anything more awful for him than a dressing room announcement. There's no pressure on him to come out. He doesn't have to tell anyone he doesn't want to, and if a full speech isn't in him, tell someone during a drill and see what happens. Finally, the GAA are looking into being more inclusive for the LGBTQ community, so there might be some stuff on the GAA website sooner rather than later if that young lad is seriously struggling with how to balance his sexuality and the GAA. Hop the Royals, this lady says.
Hop the Royals indeed.
All solid advice.
And on Didlos, a listener has messaged saying, on the topic of dildos, me and the missus had a box of toys. Brilliant addition to any relationship. Rabbits, glass didlos, bullet vibes, cock rings, and magic wands.
Wow, a real Barney bag of stuff there.
This is the director's cut of Harry Potter. Some class crack, unreal stuff when a vibrator is put under your balls.
How are we reading this out and getting away with
also,
it?
Also, I'm the guy another listener mentioned about putting their lad into a pint glass and it tipping the bottom. Unfortunately, glasses are changing and I can't do it with the new Carlsberg glass.
God help you. You poor devil.
Was your party trick ruined now? On another Didlo story, me and one of the lads found a big black Didlo brought it out on a night out, having great crack throwing it around and swinging it around the place. All fun until this huge bouncer came over to take the dildo off us. My mate lobbed the dildo back to me and ended up landing on the bouncer's head and sticking to it.
I'm not buying that.
We had some laugh. Bouncer was in stitches, kicked us out, but gave us back the dildo. Fair enough.
I'd rather be left in and he confiscate the dildo. What are a group of lads going to do out in the street with a big dildo, like, you know?
You know, a street performance.
The dildo five. Okay. An anonymous lady said as well, "Dear Johnny's and Maura, I love the podcast. I'm in Australia and after literally just starting a job last week, I have lost it due to the second lockdown over here."
Oh.
That's a dose. "It's such a kick in the teeth, but your podcasts are helping me get through these tough times. Anyway, this literally happened only yesterday and I thought it was too good not to share. I'm from Cavan and I moved to Australia in August with my boyfriend. We're together nearly 8 years now and had a break for around maybe a month in that time. We were both in final year in college and a bit stressed out, but happy to say we got back together and all has been good ever since. During the break in our relationship, I'm not going to lie, I was missing the dick. I didn't have any interest in finding another fella as I was still in love with the long term boy, but I needed something to get me by in the meantime. I finally made the choice that I would buy myself a little something online to, quote, get the work done. I ordered myself a bright pink diddlo, which ended up being way bigger than expected. Me and the boyfriend got back together soon after."
John, you know, shopping online is always... Do you ever buy a jumper that doesn't quite fit
so
you?
So hard to get sizes. Yeah. You know, no, you never know.
A medium in one brand is different than a medium in another brand.
It is. Me and the boyfriend got back together soon after this, and I forgot all about the diddlo. I hid it in the dressing table in my room underneath the pull-out drawers, the little gap in between the ground and the bottom drawer. Sneaky. I thought it was the perfect hiding place for it, as I had my own room, and to be fair, no one would have any reason to go pulling out all my drawers. Time went on and I forgot all about it. About a year or so later, I'm packing up the last of my stuff at home for my flight to Australia in the morning. Running around trying to remember everything, I finally leave for my flight, leaving behind the bright pink dildo. At the beginning of COVID, my older sister, who'd been working in Dublin, returned home to Cavan to work from home there. She works as an accountant and has been working hard for years doing her CPA accountancy exams. For those not familiar, there are 15 of these exams in total, and they are supposed to be extremely difficult, with the pass percentage that must be obtained 75%. Being the brainy one out of family, she continued to work and study as she has for years, and finally the day came for her final exam. The exam was on Tuesday just gone by, which was actually her birthday too. With the time difference, I decided to ring her the day before her birthday and the exam to wish her the best of luck. I spoke to her on the phone. She informed me that she had to sit the exam from home due to COVID. She was talking me through the process involved, that she would have to set up 3 different monitors at different angles pointing at her so that the supervisor could ensure she wasn't cheating. If she was even looking up for too long, she would be suspected of cheating. She had to totally gut out the room. Any posters would need to be taken off the wall. All books removed, all that carry on. It was the first time this had ever been done, so they were being extra cautious. I wished her the best of luck, told her I'd ring her again tomorrow for her actual birthday. Needless to say, she was nervous that these exams have a high fail rate, and sitting at home was a new element in the works too. The next day, I see my sister trying to ring me. I answer and yell down the phone, 'Happy birthday!' She responds with, 'You piece of shit.' Confused, I said, 'Come again?' She continued, 'I could actually kill you right now.' Even more confused, I answered, 'What are you talking about? I haven't done that.' She responded with, 'Your fucking dildo.' I paused for a second. In denial, I had to think for a few seconds, and then it hit me. I was speechless. I couldn't even deny it. I asked, 'How did she find it?' As it turns out, she decided to sit the exam in my bedroom. Right before she was due to start the exam, the supervisor, who would be watching her sit the exam on the monitors, asked her to remove the drawers from the desk she was sitting at to ensure there was no chance of any cheating going on. She removed each drawer one by one, and then the supervisor asked, 'Can you also show me the area underneath the drawers?' Well, to my sister's absolute horror, she was forced to hold up her little sister's bright pink dildo to him. They were both speechless, not a word, and eventually they proceeded to begin the exam. For the next 4 hours, my sister sat her final exam, my big pink dildo beside her. She said anytime there was a question she didn't know the answer to, she would just start to stress out. She thought, well, fuck it truly can't get any worse. I couldn't stop laughing when she told me, lucky enough, I had sent her flowers and wine and chocolate for her birthday, so she couldn't get too mad. I'm honestly still shocked I fucked up the exam for her from halfway across the world. A great story nonetheless. Not sure they will continue sitting exams at home like this. I'm sure the supervisor might have a few things to say about it. Anyway, if I win the mug this week, I promise to give it to her as an additional birthday present. Something tells me I'm going to be trying to make up for it for a while.
Damn.
That's crazy. Like that thing could have went somewhere. The examiner would be like, oh, that looks all right.
How bad do you want to pass?
That is wrong.
Hashtag save our chicken rolls. Mike from Kerry says, I'm over here to Manchester and haven't been home since Christmas due to the COVID. Delis aren't a thing in England, hence the only chicken rolls myself and the missus can get are homemade jobs. Your constant talk of them is driving me mad and giving me a serious craving. P.S. Maybe you could start a campaign to bring chicken rolls international. And he says the best chicken rolls down in Kerry are the Reeks Garage in Killarney. That is where I got mine when I went climbing Cairn Toul.
Was it good?
It was a fine.
Yeah.
Fine chicken roll, but you know, it's hard to get a bad one.
We actually sat in the airport in, I don't know where it was, somewhere in America anyway, and we sat genuinely with James for 20 minutes thinking about how we could set up an international chicken fillet roll business.
Yeah, chicken roll shack.
Yeah, chicken roll shack it's going to be called.
We're in this, the airport in LA has a big Jersey Mike's, a big sub sandwich.
Big Subway, yeah.
Yeah,
dirt. Big Subway.
It's dirt.
It's shit.
It's shit.
Yeah, so that's where the idea was spawned. So we are going to, listen, hopefully someday we will take chicken fillet rolls international. Dylan said, got a chicken fillet roll from Centre beside the Coolock Industrial Estate. €5 and all I got was lettuce and cheese. Disgraceful, he says. It wasn't disgraceful, Dylan. It was outrageous.
Patrick emailed to say, I work at a petrol station near Navan and above.
You have to do the rest of this in your Meath accent.
My Meath accent isn't great. I used to live in Meath and all the boys are just on the vowel sounds.
Okay, what about give us your loud accent?
No, my loud accent's not as good. I can't. I'm God now. I have to lose it now. No, I knew a lad, and he'd always be like, "Kira, move your cow." in Super Value in the dark. How much is the tequila? How much is the tequila, Kira?
And Mara, do they all talk like that?
Oh, yeah. Ask a loud man to pronounce the orange and he'll say, an orange.
Anyway, what did Patrick say?
He says, above the deli, there is a sign stating hot chicken roll, $4.75.
Outrageous!
Now, any brave soul that decides to go through with this purchase gets a lovely surprise when they rock up to the till and the actual price comes to $3.60. Why on earth the boss man decides to keep that sign up is beyond me. But the sigh of relief people must go through must be class.
Come on, Mr. Boss Man. You gotta give the people what they want.
People are naving.
Tequila.
Hi. How much is the tequila? I was going to Tournament Feckin' and we pulled into Super Value getting a few bits. And I swear to God, once she said that, I was like, what? I picked her brain for about 20 minutes. She was like, just say something. Say your name, whatever.
Pat said in relation to using chicken fillet rolls as currency, lads, when I was in the old Mary Dry in Limerick, myself and lads came up with what we called Dutch currency. A can of Dutch gold was €1. And was all we needed to barter in 2009. Day after a night out, the only cure was a chicken roll from Bobby Burns. One of the lads used to pay me in Dutch gold to get him a chicken roll. This was a weekly occurrence. And when you include a bottle of Luke's Aid Orange, it came to handy 5 cans of Dutchie for moi.
Nice.
Sweet. Right, who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug this week? Sponsored by KC Sports. You can buy a load of Two Johnnies merch there and we'll have new ones coming in the near future. Maura, Johnny, who's getting it?
Well, Maura, who do you like for the mug?
Oh, that poor girl who had to sit the accountancy exam with a bright pink dildo beside her.
Yeah, it's between them now and the Shamrock Lounge for me.
The pink dildo is bad during the exam, handy after.
After, yeah. It would de-stress you.
Yeah.
And I guess, look, the couple that went to the Shamrock Lounge, they got assigned to Johnny's card, so.
Yeah, and they got to meet Margaret.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, they've already won in life. So, dildo girl, pink, the big, massive, oversized dildo girl. Please. Congrats. Email podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie. You are this week's mug winner. Give your details in and Mara will sort you out. We'll get that mug out to your poor sister, you know, who's who thankfully is now, you know, stress free.
Now, the weekly roundup. What's been going on? Well, I'll tell you one thing, lads. Last weekend was a bank holiday and we didn't drink. We didn't drink. Oh. We were good boys.
It wasn't out of, you know, I wanted to have a few drinks. I really wanted to have a few drinks, but do tell on, John.
We were on RTE Radio 1 with our good friend Marty Morrissey on bank holiday Monday morning. We were gone out of care by 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And as we pulled into RTE, we're parked up outside. God bless him, didn't John Hume die?
Yeah, a fair old man.
A fair achiever, great dairy man. And we walked into RTE and the producer came out to us and said, do either of you know John Hume personally or have any John Hume related stories? And we had to say no. And as it turned out, they couldn't make space for us on the radio because they were having obviously a John Hume special for his passing. So the two of us and Dermot Gavin just sat there waiting in RT and we'd turn around and drive all the way home again.
Yeah. And then Marty was like, let's get a picture. And I fill us in. That's scapped constellation, Marty, for the bank holiday weekend I've just missed out on.
Even though he looks hilarious in the picture.
Yeah.
He's wearing an old hat.
He's wearing an old hat, yeah.
But this is the crack. You're trying to get played on Irish radio. This is the crack.
It's a listen. I hope RT don't hear this, but I rang Johnny on the Saturday and was like, tell him I'm sick. I was like, ring him and tell him I'm sick, like, and I can't go on, like, you know, can't go on the radio. And Johnny was like, no, man, we'll have to go up now.
We'll have to promise them that we do it.
We owed Marty a favour, so we had to. That's why we were doing it, like, on a bank holiday Monday. And I was like, listen, just call it in, man. Tell him we're sick. And then when we were pulling in to the car park in RT, and then they announced the sad news, of course, that John Hume had died. And I said to Johnny, like, it's going to be hard for us to go on now.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was, like, telling lovely stories about him and what a great man he was, and it was quite sad, you know, it was very sad. And then, like, what were they going to introduce now from Tipperary? Two lads who were going to talk about, like, dog shit for the next 10 minutes.
So, Marty, the thing about chicken rolls is...
So we were like, right, maybe, like, the writing's on the wall here. But we did get a photo with Marty, and we got a spin on the motorway, which is always... which is actually becoming a hobby at this stage. It's lockdown.
Up to visit the Nace Ball.
Yeah, that's what it's reduced us to. We went to the deli and we had a bit of a chat as well. We had a bit of crack.
A day out for us, yeah.
Listen to some power ballads.
They're going to have us back. Anyway, John, your management streak.
Oh, it rolls on another week, lad.
Well, are you a manager? You're a coach, really?
No, I'm kind of... I am a coach, I guess you would say, but like...
Coach smacks.
Yeah, but coaches kind of do everything, don't they?
Well, how's it going?
It's going well. We're still undefeated. 3 games in. We've had 2 wins and a draw. We got a draw the other night in what can only be determined as probably the best hurling Care have ever played.
Really?
Oh my God. It was sensational. Both teams played very well.
Yeah.
I was very happy, but I was exhausted after the game. I came home and I was sweating more than if I actually played a game myself. I lay on the couch. I was like, I'm empty. How does Jurgen Klopp do it?
Your voice was nearly gone.
My voice is still hoarse now. So if you're listening to this, you'll understand, like, my voice is a bit different than most weeks. And it's from shouting. Like, I shouted at one stage, like, you have him hooked. And my voice just completely went on the word hooked. And I was like, oh, thank God we're not gigging at the moment.
You have him hooked.
Yeah. Because people are looking at me as if, like, I'd killed an animal or something. But we got the draw. We were 1-10 to 4 points down at one stage.
Lad.
And we came back. Care are back. Slashers are back.
We haven't won anything yet.
No, but like, listen, any win in hurling in Care is a great victory.
Okay.
But we rock on another week. It was weird. I had to go over to the other team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like at the end, their manager came over and was like, oh, thanks, boys, you know. And then I instantly had to go into Cyril Farrell mode where I just threw out a load of cliches.
Did you?
Like, what do you say? Like, we'll probably meet them again, hopefully.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I was just like, you know, lads, you're a fantastic team. Keep listening to your... I felt like Anthony Daly or something going over.
Yeah.
And it said me a few words. And I say they were like, fuck off, Smaxley. You know, because most teams like would be abusing me. Like.
Yeah. And you them.
Yeah. And me them as well. Because like, they know me, like, and you know, I mean, one lad said to me in the last game, not this week, the week before, their player went close to the line.
Yeah.
Was he over the line? Probably not, but I put my arm up for a sideline for us anyway. Like, yeah. You know, they'd have done the same. And your man was like, too much radio waves in your head. I was like, that doesn't even make sense, man. I actually turned around and was like, "Gwee, you dope, will ya?" I didn't have the energy to even row with him. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Too many radio waves.
Anyway, thank you to everyone who has signed up to our extra podcast out every Thursday with lots of extra crack and mayhem. And on this week's extra podcast, number 20, we have a new segment we want you to hear. It's called Around the Town. And we heard from the one and only Councillor Andy Maloney about the tidy towns.
Well, I remember on the Clonmel Road now one day years ago, and I was coming down along it, and a man was walking a dog, a big dog, right? And the dog ate something he shouldn't have ate, right? It was kind of running through him. And the poor misfortunate bastard was above in the road, and he was down on his hands and knees trying to scrape up his diarrhea, right? On the finish, I had to stop the van and go back, and I said, "Look," I said, "I understand," I said, "Look, well, look, forget about it," I said. I said, "I have the shovel here. I go down and get a shovel of sand and throw it on top of it." And that's all we could do. But in fairness to the guy, he did his best, like.
Yeah.
He thought, and he was at nothing. If he was here today, he'd be at nothing. You know, the dog had the scutters, and that was it. You know.
Don't forget, if you do sign up to the extra podcast, you can listen to all 20 episodes. It's not just a weekly one as well. They're all there in the archive. Now, for centuries, the pub has been part of Irish social culture, but unfortunately, many pubs have been closed since March, so we've decided to discuss the significance of pubs in Ireland, their history, and how they might evolve going into the future.
Johnny, I'm going to take you way back.
Oh, throw it back, man.
Throwing it right back, right? All the way back. So, Ireland, after the famine, pure depression going around the place,
oh,
right?
Oh, misery, lad.
Hardship.
Thistles and thorns and holes in your shoes. And
fellas getting stung by nettles.
Owl damp socks.
Rain. Owl northerly winds and tripping over holes in the bog. Anyway, people drank a lot. But it was possible then to open any type of premises to sell liquor, both licensed and unlicensed. And unlicensed premises were known as...
Shebeens.
Shebeens, lads, okay? Now then, in 1902, in the Licensing Act of Ireland, it prevented granting of any new licenses to sell liquor. So the fact is that we have the exact same number of licenses for pubs in Ireland now that we had in 1902. And in 1872, it became legal requirements to display the proprietor's name over the front door, which is a great tradition around Ireland now.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's my name over the door.
My name over the door.
Yeah. I've heard that when I've been thrown out of many the establishment.
Yes. Another fun fact for you, pubs didn't open on St. Patrick's Day until 1973.
That's crazy. Paddy's Day is like the biggest drinking day of the year now. Obviously, we've missed it this year, but like, yeah, I would say.
You know, but years ago, it was just like priests and crosses and altar boys marching around the place.
Now it's fire brigades and, you know, lads in tractors with balloons on them.
Paper mache dragons. And no, old things in pubs, right? Snugs. They started in the late 1800s for a bit of privacy, right? And while there was no laws or stipulations saying that women couldn't drink in a bar, pubs were still very much viewed as male-only places and women were not always welcome. The snug, therefore, a bit of privacy and a place where women could enjoy a tipple without the fear of judgment. Maura, I would love to see any publican tell you to get into a snug.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the snug?
Yeah, I was asking my dad about it. So, like, our family pub goes back, like, at least 150 years. And daddy was saying that, like, back when... So, he started working in the family pub in 1975. He was only 13. But, like, at that time, any woman going into the pub was really looked down and you were seen as being a bit loose, like. And my granddad... There's two women... Christ. Yeah, my... well, like, just sexism was massively... You know, chauvinism, all that was a big thing back then. But my granddad... two women came into the pub and they were sitting at the counter and they ordered drinks and my granddad told them to take the drinks and go down and sit at a table because he thought that the two women would be trying to scrounge drinks off lads at the bar. So yeah.
Jeez.
And I had to.
My God.
Yeah. But our neighbouring pub had a snug and the pub up the road, the Thatch, and that's where the women would go But then it was kind of the case in the late 70s and early 80s where women, you know, it just went away. It was, you know, more and more women started going into the pubs then and it just became more socially acceptable.
Yeah. Now, nowadays, like, I think publicans are like, get the women in.
Yeah.
Because if there's women in, the fellas will come in.
Yeah.
And the fellas will drink more to talk to the women. Yeah. So, like, I don't think a pub wouldn't survive without women nowadays.
Well, in general, there wasn't women in pubs until the 70s. And there used to be men-only pubs. Like, can you believe it? One famous one. And they reckon it was the Ireland's longest serving publican that served men only. Now, he died in 2003, and this was the famous one in Waterford City, Tom Maher. And it was Moondarrig. How do you pronounce that?
Moondarrig.
Moondarrig. We'll go with that house in Waterford City. And he served only men in the pub for 77 years, despite protests and pickets from feminist groups. Now, the gas thing is, when he died, his wife took over the pub. And she only served men as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was she allowed working there?
I didn't know it was her pub then.
Yeah, she knew what she wants.
He said, strong men, stronger drink, long hours and short skirts. A dangerous combination.
Tom Maher, a wise man.
I can't imagine you, Smax, going into a pub with no women like.
No, it's
not
funny.
That you'd be, you know, just...
Yeah, thanks, John.
You know what I mean?
I'm just saying, like, I was talking to the boys the other day about, like, what we're missing in lockdown and the pubs, because I was trying to get a bit of information for this. And one of the lads just said, do you know what? I just want to go to a pub. I want to walk in. And I just want to see a young one done up. As in, like, obviously dressed up, like, you know, done up, like.
He just wants to look at her.
Yeah, he just wants to look at her. He said, I don't even want to talk. I just wanted to be back to normal. I thought he was going to burst into tears. Like.
Imagine a men-only pub, lad. There's some smell.
I smell of shite and loud lads farting and fucking eating cabbage dinners. Oh.
There's nobody putting on an aftershave to go to a men-only pub.
There'd be no one even putting on a shirt. You'd just zero effort. You know, zero. You, lads wouldn't even wash it, say. Pure piggery.
Were you ever in a pub with sawdust on the floor?
Yeah, I was in Sean's Bar in Athlone.
Yeah, they reckon it's the oldest pub in Ireland. Mm. Sawdust on the floor.
And it's cool. It was a cool look, like pubs. That, like, there's pubs nowadays that are made to look old.
Yeah.
It's a trend, like, you know, whereas, like, years ago they were just shit.
It was a big thing with the New York Irish pubs on the waterfront bars, famous places like the Dead Rabbit. They said it soaked up whatever got spilled, beer, water, blood.
That's got a smell, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
You'd have to change it every day.
Hmm. Pubs nowadays smell lovely. You know, pubs have cleaners and, like, I remember, like, going to pubs when I was younger, that, like, and you'd walk in and the smell would be like just stale fucking drip tray.
Yeah.
Manky dirty, like feet sticking to the floor. Like, nowadays all fancy. Like, remember when I moved to Care at first, like, we went to the Gatehouse, which is now, I think, closed in Care.
Yeah, they're turned into a health food shop.
But at the time, that was, like, really swanky. It had, like, lights all around it and, like, it was bright and cool.
leather seats
real fancy, and I was like, this is like nothing in Ross Grey. You know what I mean? Like, we were still, there wasn't sawdust on the floor, there was just like old carpet.
Yeah.
Very bad old carpet.
There's sawdust on the floor in Sean's Bar in Athlone, O'Connor's in Salt Hill and Johnny Fox's in Dublin. And if you know anywhere else, lads, let us know. Now, one big trend in the evolution of the pub was in the 1950s and 60s, they had the dance halls. Show bands.
The dancing was in dance halls. It had to stop for Lent.
Way before all of our time. But there was a dance hall in Care called the Arcadia. And they reckon it could take 1,000 people.
Where was it?
Up near where the co-op would be on the road to Ballaloobie, Clahean.
Right, okay.
And every Friday, Saturday night, there'd be 1,000 people in there dancing and not drinking.
That's crazy.
Because dance halls only had a mineral bar.
Why? Like, they'd have made even more money if they had drink.
Well, I suppose a lot of these places were still connected to the church.
Yeah.
Right.
And you had to have a license, like, to serve alcohol as well. So these dance halls couldn't get licenses.
And plus, people had no money.
True as well. True enough. Yeah. I'd say the dance halls were some crack, though.
Oh, yeah. Ian and women on the left, men on the right, is it? Or the other way around.
And that really happened. Like.
Yeah.
Fucking hell's gas.
It's mad, isn't it?
Can't imagine that nowadays.
Yeah, but lads, like, trying to go over and ask someone to dance with no drinking yet.
Yeah, although it does happen, like. It was funny, like, we had a barbecue a couple of weeks ago, like, and we had a few friends over, and, like, all the men sat together and all the women, like, social distancing wasn't a problem. People were just staying away from each other anyway. It was so awkward, like. What is wrong?
But they reckon the end of the famous dance hall scene was that pubs got extensions and started running music.
So pubs got late licenses?
No. Like a physical built on.
Built a place better.
Built on a big room.
And started having bands.
Yeah. Like here you had the Silver Sands. All the country and Irish scene. Jive and all that. That's not the dance halls. That's like pubs getting extensions.
So pubs copped on.
Pubs started doing music and killed the dance halls. Yeah. But like, so why did people used to go to the pub? News?
Yeah.
There was gossip?
There was no phones either.
No phones.
If you wanted to meet someone, you probably had a good chance of meeting them down the pub.
Yeah.
Imagine that was the thing. You couldn't imagine that now, like, where will you be? I'll be in the pub Saturday night.
Yeah.
Now it's like, you'd have to like, all go in together.
Nowadays, I ring you when I'm outside. You know, when I'm outside your house, I ring you, like, rather than go and ring the doorbell. Like, it's like, I'm ringing, I'm knocking out a car. Like.
Mm.
So it used to be so casual, be like, actually, I'll be down there Saturday night, call in your own time. Like,
I think people probably had more confidence back then. Like, I hate walking into pub on my own now. Don't matter where it is, like. I'd, right. like, ring the boys and be like, are you in the pub? And they'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, tell me exactly where in the pub you are. And they're like, down the back. I'd be like, right, so I can walk in, keep my head down and get down the back. I don't know, something's seriously wrong with me. Or I don't like walking in. If there's three of us walking in, I'll always let you walk in first.
Yeah, I know. But the imagine, like, the only thing on tap was pretty much Guinness.
Proper order, lad.
Yeah.
The way it should be. All these fancy dans round drinking our weird looking glasses. Point to Plain is your only man. And Guinness aren't even sponsoring us to say that, but if they want to come on board, they're welcome.
Well, sure, that Pint of Plain Porter is gone now. It's the Guinness draft is different. Right. But Care, like, in the 70s, I was asking people, and they said all you could get was Guinness on tap or Guinness in a bottle, whiskey, brandy, and maybe gin. And that was it.
Wow.
Would it have been the same in your place, Maura?
Yeah, my dad was saying that really back, say, 50 years ago, you're talking about the 1960s, pubs didn't have, you know, the way if you go into pubs now, they have all these fancy cooling system, taps, lines, everything's run very properly. Back then, you didn't have that technology. So if you... bottles were the main thing. You'd either get a bottle of Guinness or a bottle of ale, and then, you know, if lads were hard drinkers, they might be on the whiskey or brandy, maybe a little bit of vodka, maybe a little bit of gin. That was it. But yeah, lads would drink bottles mainly, and then when the cooling systems came in, then that's when, you know, properly draft game Guinness started happening. But before that, even if you were pouring a draft, you'd have a massive head in the Guinness and you'd have to knock, you know, the top of the pint off and pour a bit again. So people preferred bottles back kind of around our granddad's time.
This chat is really making me want to drink. When you were talking there, Maura, I was having an ASMR moment.
Pints. Another mind-blowing thing, pubs having to close on Sunday afternoons.
Why, like?
The publican needed a day off. And now pubs are quiet during the week, whereas before they wouldn't have been.
Yeah, like a Sunday beer day to make money now.
No?
Yeah.
Publican was allowed to go to a match, wasn't he?
Yeah, I suppose. Listen, they had to have rights too, I suppose.
And there was a time when you couldn't get served then in your own parish. But if you were like working, if you were travelling to Dublin and you pulled in, they could serve you.
Why?
Well, you were travelling for business. You were entitled to a drink.
Yeah, no, that's that if a traveller called to pub somebody from outside the distance, then you're allowed to stay open during the so-called holy hour between 2 and 4. So the lads who'd go into the pub after mass would be hoping that somebody would call in from Kingscourt, because that way they'd be allowed to keep going. So
you'd be paying a lad to come in.
Yeah, but that was only changed in 2000, that law. And it actually, my dad got in trouble once over it. So I was asking my dad, did he ever get done for, you know, being open after hours and that kind of thing? And he said that there was one Sunday. So his great aunt, I think she died in 91. Her name was Lena. She died on Christmas Day, and then 2 days later was her funeral. It was on a Sunday. So we had all the relations in, and the pub stayed open between 2 and 4, and the guards arrived in at 10 to 4. And Daddy explained the situation. It was like, look, this is all family here. There were funeral or whatever, guards still did them. So there was like, yeah, so if you were caught opening after hours, there'd be usually, I think, 5 charges brought against you, and I think it was like £100 fine each charge, maximum or average.
Big money back then.
Yeah. So my dad and my mother went to court, and the guards didn't turn up. The solicitor explained what had happened, and the judge actually fined my dad the minimum amount, which was £2. So so they went for a drink afterwards, and actually ended up leaving RD. They met the 2 guards on their way to the court. It was just hilarious. So.
But the pub was different. It was the place of all men.
Mm.
Like, my grandfather didn't get his first drink until he was 36.
Wow.
Yeah. Then he got the hang of it.
Did he? Like, he enjoyed it then.
Underage drinking wasn't really a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you could get served. My dad said they went downtown once at 15 and got a whiskey back, and there was nothing about it. But, like, you just wouldn't. Like, it was dark and smelly and smoky. Like, young people didn't go to the pub and didn't have money.
Yeah, it just wasn't that attractive place to be as it is now.
Yeah, no. A big change up. I just wanted to bring to people's attention. A change in the law in the year 2000, right? Before this, in order to open a new premises, you had to buy 2 existing pub licenses and extinguish them in the same town where you were where you're building a new one. And your brand new premises could not be within a mile of another pub. This is a closed shop.
So if I wanted to open a pub in Care,
you'd have to buy 2 other licenses in Care.
Okay, so I'd have to basically wait for 2 pubs to close down, buy their licenses.
So there was hardly any new pubs left.
Okay.
But then they changed this law in the year 2000, which means that if you had a pub license in West Cork, you could sell it to somebody and they can open up a pub on O'Connell Street in Dublin.
Wow.
And then the result is that the price of a pub license went from about £40,000 to about £150,000 overnight. And we did hear, a man was telling us, he knew someone who paid $250,000 for a pub license back in the boom. Mental stuff.
Some money, like. Nowadays, what's a pub license going to be worth in another while? God only knows.
Yeah, I think they're back around 40, 50 grand.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Bit more like. But I was talking to my mother about, like, changes in the pub and stuff like that. And she was saying, I was like, would you been out much? She was like, not really. And then she was like, oh, we'd have been out Thursday and Friday. And, you know, sure, we'd been out Saturday and Sunday, I suppose, as well. And I was like, okay, so you were out a good bit. Like, and she was like, yeah, but we wouldn't drink much. She was like, we never had any money, so if you were going out, you'd be getting 1 or 2 drinks a night, like. And I was like, come on now, mate, you're just saying that to me. And she was like, honest to God, she was saying, like, it was all about the dance. And then she was saying, like, Thursday night was a ballad session.
What do you mean a ballad
session? And at first I thought she said ballet, and I was like, I can't imagine the pub with Ross Gray hosting ballet. And then she was like, no, a ballad session, you dope. And I was like, so basically they all sat around the pub, and then a fella get up and sing a song, and then someone else get up and sing a song, and this went on and on. A proper organised sing-song.
Class.
Like, any of the best nights I've had have resulted in a sing-song at some stage.
But they'd have been mostly sober.
Yeah, like, I'm talking 9 o'clock. Like, normally a sing-song breaks out at half 4 in the morning. Some lad is murdering Caledonia in the corner. But this was a proper organised sing-song.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it is nice. Yeah, there's something class to that. I'd like that.
What did they do Friday night?
Friday night, then, there was a band. And then Saturday night was a band in disco. And, then on Sunday night, just the disco.
Right.
So, yeah. My mother told me that her friend from England was home, and that they went to a disco in Birr, and her friend had to be brought in a wheelchair to get the plane back to London from exhaustion.
What?
She was so exhausted from dancing. And I was like, you sure, like, you know, you didn't have alcohol poison? And the mother said, no. She said, we didn't drink that night. We were drinking Coca-Cola. She said, we didn't have the money. We danced so much, your one wasn't able to walk. She was cramping up the next day with exhaustion. Swear to God.
They had to wheelchair her onto the plane.
Onto the plane. She was exhausted from dancing. Now they'd be taking cocaine and the whole lot to be dancing for 4 weeks. Scandalous, carry on.
Do you know the opening hours? Now, Maura probably does, but I asked someone today who worked in a pub all through college. I said, what's closing time on Sunday? Hadn't a clue.
Half 11.
No, it's 11.
Is it?
Yeah. There you go.
They're only guidelines, man. They're only guidelines.
So it's, you know, Monday to Thursday, it's 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. And then Friday and Saturday is 10:30 in the morning to 12:30 at night. And then Sundays, you're not allowed to open until 12:30 until 11 p.m. And you can obviously, you can apply for the late license, which gets you to 2:30 in the morning. Mm. But they're not cheap. Like, by the time, I think it's around, you're talking about the guts of 500 quid now, including legal fees, for one night's late license.
Yeah, you want to be having a decent do, like. You want good drinkers in, wouldn't you?
Fact.
But how, like, so when I was chatting to the mother about it, right, she reckoned there was around, like, 20-something pubs in Roscrea at the time. Mm. I don't know how many there is now, but significantly lower than that. I would say maybe 10, 11, 12, probably. Yeah. Just off the top of my head. So she was saying she was out all the time, but they weren't drinking that much. But there was 20-something pubs.
Yeah.
So how was there so many pubs, and how was it sustainable for those pubs to stay open when people weren't drinking much? Like, I think people are drinking more now and there's less pubs. But back then there was more pubs and people were drinking less.
Well, they're drinking more, less often now, but heavier in one sitting.
Okay. So we're obviously binging now, yeah.
We're binging now.
Yeah.
But like, Maura, your dad would say that, like, okay, people, like, young ones didn't go out and drink 10 vodka Red Bulls.
Yeah.
But they'd have been out maybe having a bit 4 nights a week.
Yeah.
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 There was more people working locally and more people self-employed. So, like, you'd have a lot of farmers coming in for, you know, maybe a pint after the mart or something like that. You'd have a much steadier Monday to Friday trade as opposed to really relying on the weekend trade to make your profit.
Yeah. It's gas, like, and I was asking her about, like, my nanny and granddad, like, what would have been a crack with them?
Yeah.
And she was like, when women start going to the pub, like, she said, like, a nanny go the odd time, you know, and she might have a snowball. I had to Google what a snowball is. Some sort of liqueur, like, I don't know what in Christ's name. It's still after 10 minutes of Googling, I still don't know what it is. And I was like, yeah, but, like, you know, would she go out with granddad? She said, oh, no. Oh, she'd go wherever he wasn't. So basically, like, you know, the men would all sit with the men.
Yeah.
And the women sit with the women, like, and don't cross paths.
Yeah.
I just thought that was gas the way it was back then.
When my dad built the new pub in 1986, before that, the pub was basically the downstairs of our house. But when he built the new pub, there was the main pub and then there was the quiet lounge, which were, you know, was nearly like a bigger snug for women to go in and have their whatever. I think they said the popular drink for women back then was a bottle of Harp or Carling Black Label, which were both disgusting drinks. Oh, I don't know why the God, women were drinking them.
Harp.
Yeah.
I won't have a bad word said against Harp.
Do you remember Ritz?
Yeah.
Ritz was the choice.
Yeah, yeah, the drink, black and white bottle.
The mammy drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just have a Ritz.
Okay, a couple of quick ones. In August 2003, the government made it illegal to have happy hours.
Government stealing our crack. Do you know what? Fianna Fáil were in power then. I'm surprised they didn't like that. It was just right up their strassa.
That happy year.
But in fairness, to defend Fianna Fáil on one thing, history was made in March 2004 when Ireland became the first country in the world to introduce a smoking ban. That must be the best thing that they ever brought into this country.
Do you remember at the time, sure?
They were going bananas. But, like,
there was posters going up of old men sitting on the side of the road. It was like a troker box.
Yeah.
It was like, look what you're doing to this old man. He's outside.
Smoking. But, like, in fairness, pubs have massively changed even since 2004. Like, I remember as young, like, going to watch a match, right? And this was, like, pubs. Going to the pub was an event, so going to watch a match was an event. Even, like, I know Sky came in and lads start getting Sky at home and then they stop going to the pub. But I'm talking the GA, which has always been an RT, which is free to air. So let's say Tip played in the Munster final, like, and we couldn't get a ticket or whatever, like, when I was a young lad. We'd go to the pub with all the other families in the parish.
You could have watched that at home.
Yeah, could have watched that at home. But we'd all go to the pub. Pub would be heaving blue and gold. Everyone had their colours on. Pride in the county, watching the match. Now, if Tip were in a Munster final, like, people would probably go to the game, and whoever didn't would just watch it at home. There's nobody out in the pubs. I think that's really gone. But talking about pubs since 2004, my memories of pubs going to watch matches is, first of all, you'd be blinded by the smoke.
Blinded.
But secondly, every pub was dark.
Yeah.
2 o'clock in the day, 30 degrees outside, sun is splitting the stones. Somehow, miraculously, you can't see a foot in front of your face inside. It's so dark.
It's a time warp.
You couldn't even tell how many people were in the pub because you couldn't see the bar through smoke. And you had to sit close enough to the television that, like, you'd be on top of it to see it, like, because the smoke could be so heavy sitting up on the ceiling.
John Lahey coming out at you.
Yeah, it's crazy, like, how much they've changed. How were the pubs so dark?
I remember being in the pub when I was young, getting a bite to eat, whatever, and it was so smoky. And, you know, I have bad asthma. Mm. And my dad said to the guy who owns the pub, he's like, over our heads, is that an extractor? And he said, it is. And my father said, do you ever turn it on? Not really. And he said, the young fella has asthma. Would you turn it on for a few minutes? And I'm not joking. Within about a minute, all the smoke was gone from the pub and he turned it back off again.
Oh, my God.
Problem solved.
Oh, my God.
Just wasn't arsed.
To hit the switch.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But then they built beer gardens.
Yeah, that's the smoking ban brought about the advancement of outdoor heaters, lad.
Yeah. People love drinking outside, you notice.
Yeah, but like the smoking area now is like, I know where my single friends, that's where they go for a shift.
Smirting?
Smirting, is that a thing?
Smoking and flirting?
Wow. Oh my God.
Do you remember, Maura will definitely remember, the cafe bar fiasco, 2005.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The then Minister for Justice, Michael McDougall, wanted to bring in this licensing for cafe bar licenses. He thought we were going to be like the rest of Europe. And the publicans went berserker.
Oh.
Do you remember this, Maura?
Yeah. It's just, I understand what he was trying to do. I think he was like trying to make us more civilized when it came to drinking, you know, but it was never going to fly. Yeah.
No, you can't change us. I think we all love the pub too much, and we know how dangerous it can be, but we do love the pub. Mm. So just before we finish, right, where are the pubs going to be in 10 years? Is there going to be pubs? Genuinely, you know, with this coronavirus has really put the squeeze on publicans. Publicans will say beforehand they weren't doing great anyway. You know, people were drinking at home and off licenses were affecting them and things weren't great. This coronavirus has obviously put them to the pin of their collar, and news now that we're not going to be going back to the pubs for God knows when.
Now, so a lot was made of drink driving because obviously that was the thing back in the day.
Yeah, they killed the rural pubs. Yeah.
It was socially acceptable to have 8 pints and drive home.
Yeah.
I don't think it was socially acceptable.
It was, man. It was absolutely.
It was the done thing.
My dad was saying that. I was asking my dad about, like, what was the story with drink driving back in the 80s? And he was like, yeah, it was socially acceptable. Like, the guards were actually way stricter about closing time than there would be people getting into the cars drink driving. Literally, the guards would come into the pub, clear everybody out. Lads would be absolutely stocious getting into the cars. Guards wouldn't care as long as they're out of the pub. So,
my God, that's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. But I have to say that the change for the rural pub is not just like when the smoking ban came out. People said it was going to kill the pubs, and it took the pubs a while to bounce back.
Mm.
Not everywhere had the room for a smoking area, etc.
Yeah.
Right? Then they said drink driving was going to kill the pubs, but it's been incremental. Like rural populations are going down anyway.
Yeah.
So.
This isn't helping.
Where are they going to be? Care used to have a nightclub.
Yeah.
Cashel used to have a big nightclub.
Ross Grey used to have a nightclub.
All gone.
Mm.
Banshee down to one pub, ran by a woman who must be 80, is she?
Yeah. So
the Village Inn in Ballaloobie is gone. Ballaloobie's down to one pub, ran by a woman who's about 80. When God forbid, you know, old women eventually go to visit God.
Yeah.
Who's going to take on the pub? Like a country pub is a big responsibility. And what young person at 20 or 30 is like, do you know what? I'll move home and I'll run the pub. Like, it's a big undertaking.
Run the pub that probably isn't making money. You know, probably isn't going to be turning a huge profit.
But people would argue that publicans have been slow to change. Like now, if you want to get around the licensing laws to open for coronavirus, a couple hundred quid, you could buy a pizza oven, get somebody local who's HSE registered to make the pizzas. You could throw them into the oven for 2 minutes and you could reopen your pub now.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And publicans will say, well, I shouldn't have to. I'm following the rules. I've got in the perspex, etc. But that is what I'm hearing from a lot of people. I'd like Maura's opinion. They're saying publicans are too slow to adapt to what people want. Like, it's capitalist society.
Yeah.
Nightclubs close down because we stopped going into them.
So you reckon the pubs could go the same way as the nightclubs?
Yeah.
Rural pubs. I'm worried for rural pubs.
Yeah. Well, what the pubs here are doing in the village, and I don't know how they're getting away with it, but the three pubs here, they're opening on Friday and Saturday, Sunday nights. And I was driving through the village yesterday and the village was full. Basically, they're getting a takeaway from the takeaway, bringing it into the pub, eating it and having a few drinks as well while they're there. So food seems to be the way to go because it is way more popular to eat out now than it was back then. Yeah. But I don't know, do ale farmers really like, you know, pizzas? But I think...
Spuds.
Yeah. Maybe
play spuds in your local.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll evolve. But I think that it's important that they do, because they are a community hub. Like, it's where you go, like, after a funeral, a christening, you know...
They're important places. I think what's going to happen now, though, is, and what I see a lot of lads doing and a lot of my friends are doing as well, is like converting garden sheds. The garages are being turned into bars. Like, it's like Prohibition. They're setting up their own shebeens. And like, you know, as one fella said to me, sure, can't I invite 7 or 8 of you over to the house? And you know, I don't have to deal with all the other dickheads that are normally down the pub. He was like, everybody here I like. That's not the case on a Saturday night in town. I was like, that's fair enough.
But this is possibly also connected to the fact that where do you want to meet a woman? Probably online.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily going to the shirt, putting your shirt on, going to the pub.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. Like, will we end up like the Spanish doing table service and, you know, the pub is a whole different thing then? Maybe our days in the pub, lads, could be finished.
I mean, hard to be broken, lad. I've gone to Ryan's on Camden Street and crowd surfed. It was so busy.
I know. Those days just seem so long ago.
Okay, well, before the Rona kicked in, the drink industry, Ireland, put out where they thought it was going to go, the big trends. Non-alcoholic beer.
Mm.
That is growing, lad.
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's less frowned upon now. Normally, if a fella was drinking a non-alcoholic beer, like, straight away people would be like,
are you on your period?
What's the story there? Like, you know, what's wrong with this guy?
What's wrong? Are you sick?
Yeah. It's more acceptable now.
Whiskey and gin. People are going for what they consider to be premium brands. And then people are not afraid to buy a more expensive beer and drink less and trying Irish stuff.
Mm.
They want drink experiences, going to like a gin bar.
Yeah, they want the fancy furniture, lad. They want the nice lights. They want the balloon glasses, as they're called, with the gin. People have higher expectations than they once had. I think bring back the noble pub. Guinness and Smithwick's, and if you don't like it, you get a punch in the jaw on your way out. Old school.
In 1987, there was 11,000 pubs outside of Dublin. Now, around 4,000.
We need a campaign, lads. Save our pubs.
Shops are buying up the licences and turning them into off licences.
Yeah, and that's definitely affecting pubs.
I don't know, lads, so I hope we've cheered you all up.
Oh my God, I have to say. Like, we've done a lot of research on this topic and a lot of reading about it. And to be honest, my heart is breaking here as we do the topic. I'm worried for the pubs. Everybody's probably worried.
If you go on daft.ie, there's 30 pubs in County Kilkenny for sale.
Wow.
Oh my God.
30 rural pubs on daft for sale.
Don't let the pubs go to the wall, lads, please. If you're listening, which I doubt they are.
Yeah, but when they reopen, we're going to have to support them.
Yeah.
Or else they're going to go.
That's it. There's no point saying we all love the pub and then not supporting them.
And then your village doesn't have one. And then you win a match and it's, oh, jeez, where do we go?
Yeah.
Give her a turn. Get someone to drive you down and drop you home, or have a non-alcoholic beer, or go in there for a coffee.
Yeah.
Imagine saying that to someone in the 80s. Two grown men are going to go out and pay for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Shot.
Oh my God. Save our pubs. Up the pubs. Up riding. According to this man, Daniel O'Donnell carries a pet crow in his pocket named Gary Pallister. It's time for Noel Furlong. And it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News.
Well, Noel, how are things?
Aren't you better? When are you going to start that music?
You told me.
I told you many things. You've done none of them.
You said you were going to start it yourself.
Well, I was talking to a good band. Do you know the Hot House Powers?
No, I don't.
You do?
The Hot House Flowers?
No, Hot House Powers. It's Mick Power, Goosey Power, Jerry Power. They'd be cousins of mine.
Goosey Power.
Yeah, do you remember Hosier had the song about them? Nina cried power.
Yeah.
Yeah, well... I went to Nina and I met Mick Power, and he never cried. Not even as a baby. He came out of the womb, right? And his first words were, how are we getting on? and Dunquair.
Dunquair.
The nurses were astounded. He came out of the womb. And Dunquair. And he went on to be a schoolmaster.
Go away.
Yeah. And you know his sister Deirdre? You do?
Yeah.
Deirdre, she went on to be a baker. Yeah, she married Tom Baker. So now she's Deirdre. Now she's Deirdre Baker.
Very clever. Very good.
And then the other sister, she went on to be a whore.
What?
She married Jim Whore. The other sister is a whore as well. Yeah, never married.
No.
That's the hot house powers.
Yes.
Do you know who used to be good? The Saw Doctors.
Yeah, they are legends.
I went to see them in Clonmel one time. Well, I thought they were actual Saw Doctors. Like tour makers. I went in Lord Led singing songs. There's me with the chainsaw under my arm. I was trying to ask your man, will you service this after the gig? He was singing away. It's false advertising. It's not right. But they're not Saw Doctors. They know nothing about saws. I had a Husky 365 under my arm. Hello. Hello. And you think that's bad? I brought two mechanics to see Little Green Cars. And I tell you what, I was bitterly disappointed the night I went to see Ham Sandwich. The night I went to see Ham Sandwich, I was fucking starved coming out of the place. Hello. I was shouting at her, brown bread, brown bread. I was roaring at her. They were leaping and carrying on. Huh?
Carrying on. Carrying on.
Disgrace. False advertising.
Oh my God.
But Junior B training.
Yes.
All is going to plan. We haven't actually gone back training yet. But you don't want to do too much. You don't want to do too much. A tired leg won't kick a goose off a grain trailer. Do you know who said that?
Who?
Michelangelo. Painter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a few sucklers on the side. And now I told you we approached the Cake O'Brien. He is still sitting at his kitchen table. But he has changed the channel to Tina G. And he's watching GAA Gold 8 hours a day. He is expecting the movement to come back in his left arm any day now. The sight of Mickey Linden kicking pints for down in the 90s is inspiring his kidneys to kick back into action.
Wow, he's going to be back.
He's got a big man on the edge of the square won't wash a lamb with soup. As the old saying goes.
Who said that?
Elvis. The two Polish lads are training hard.
Are they?
Yeah, one of them was arrested.
For what?
I think it was Pablo.
For what?
Well, he was netting salmon in the river. Yeah, he got into a fight with two scumbags. Well, he bet the head off. I'm trained well. Well, he has to fight the Carrick boys in the final now. Yeah. But as the old saying goes, a stoat with two legs never bet a horse at dancing.
Who said that?
Do you know who said that?
Who said that?
Hillary Clinton. As for John Paul, still no phone call from Liam Sheedy.
Ah, here.
Up to the tip team. I found his old birth certs, and he's going to play the Junior B. He's going to hurl the Junior B as well, under the name Juan Carlos Montoya.
Where did you pull that name on?
Well, we said if we keep him under the radar.
That'll definitely go under the radar.
Or we'll give him a moustache.
I'm fairly sure he's Formula One driver.
Well, he's hurling wing forward and doing B anyway. But as the old saying goes, Porter and the Devil's Boot would tie a crow to a goat and Nina.
Who said that?
The Dalai Lama. Himself a fair beer merchant in a former life.
Oh my God.
Maura got that one. Even match tomorrow yourselves.
Yeah, hurling.
Well, now in the lead up to a game, would you still give her the old Donegal burnout?
Yeah.
Slip the clutch.
Occasionally, yeah.
Into first Margot. Yeah. Jeez, I wouldn't. I tell my lad you stay away from it before a match.
Why?
Or they'd be mad for action on Sunday. One time I was managing the ladies footballers. One time I was. I tell you, we had a fair run. And I told him, no sex the week of championship. She weren't we out 4 Sundays in a row.
Oh,
cheers. By the time we get out of the group stage, they were gone feral. Now, a bit of local news for you. Much to the delight of everyone in the parish, Paddy Fong has giant Tinder. Swipe right for the man in blue jeans.
Forever in blue jeans.
His profile picture is a picture of his beloved Astra from when he entered last year's St. Patrick's Day parade with Fong Enterprises. There was, of course, a sign saying Fong Deliveries. Sometimes right, sometimes Fong. He'd be delivering for the supermarket, you know. Well, if he had to pass the bridge, if he had to pass the bridge barber law, OJ's bad tires. He'd more flats than a piano, that fella. Yeah. They'd be ringing him, Fong, where's the messages? And he'd say, we have a flat. Jeez, the milk would be green by the time you'd be dropping it off. It's loaded.
Sometimes right, sometimes
wrong. But he's on Tinder now anyway. So he was listening, you did a podcast about it. And he took your advice. So his first photo is the Astra, which is fairly impressive to a certain vintage of woman.
Okay.
And the caption says, would she drink ale? She would if she got it. Whoop, whoop.
The women are going to love that.
Well, the second photo is Fong in front of the Vatican wearing a sombrero, and then written on his chest is, Frank Stapleton is dandy.
It's dandy.
Dandy, yeah. It was during Italian 90. Yeah, it was during Italian 90. That was the slang at the time.
All right.
Now, Fong is no longer quite as tanned, and he may have put on 4 or 5 stone, but it's good to show that he has a bit of religion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chicks dig that. Dude. Now, the third photo is a Jack Russell bitch named Nora. Now, Nora is currently missing. And that photo was perhaps intended for Dundee or Facebook. But women like dogs, so win-win. The fourth photo on Fong's profile is Fong at Tim Hassett's christening. And he's wearing his good blue jeans, a brown belt, and the work boots. Now, women love this look, apparently.
Right.
So, a man who can has tools and can do things, you know, this is the look. But now the photo is only from the waist down.
Okay.
Well, he's putting his best foot forward. Right? Now, the fifth and final photo on Fong's Tinder profile is a painting of a horse. He just wanted to show that he had a bit of culture.
Who painted?
I don't know. He got it at the bric-a-brac. At the ICA. Bric-a-brac. But I think he's right. You have to stand for what you believe in.
Mm.
Yeah. So his bio says, Fong seeks woman. Contact Jerry Power in Cashel Garda Station if you have any information about the missing Jack Russell. Swipe right if you've seen my dog. He got a good few matches.
Did he?
No, he did, yeah. Now, it was mostly women looking for their messages that he hadn't delivered yet. But the odd person wants to buy the Astra.
Okay, you're not going too bad.
No, swipe right for the man in blue jeans.
Paddy Fong.
Paddy Fong.
Sometimes right.
Sometimes Fong. You may be right. You may be Fong. So I must go anyway.
Are you flat out?
Oh yeah, yeah. Mickey Two Hands is after. He had a break in the blade in the combine.
Who, Mickey Two Hands?
Mickey Two Hands, yeah. And I said, can you not fix that yourself? And he said, no, I only have two hands. I said, I know.
Ah, oh, you're a gas man, Noel.
Mickey Two Hands, he's a pest.
Is he?
Ah, I do nothing for you. Right. Go on away.
We'll see you next week.
Good luck.
She's as blunt as a sledgehammer to the head. Maura, what is your mystery topic this week?
Surprise, surprise, my topic is not about riding or wanking or anything like that. It's about food.
Oh. Oh.
I thought you'd be relieved.
Yeah, we are.
We are, Maura.
It's a question, okay? I had an experience recently, went to a hotel. So the hotel breakfast have completely changed. It's like you have to book in now, you sit down at your table and they bring you your breakfast. They don't, you can't go up to the buffet and get, you know, your pancakes, your rashers, your sausages, your little mini croissants, your little mini almond croissants and come back to with, you know, the table with 15,000 calories. You can't do that anymore. So you order off a menu and the set menu for the full Irish. I have a revelation to say, it's going to cause a lot of controversy, but I don't like the full Irish breakfast because I'm not into black pudding. I like black pudding, but I like it when it's a starter with like a bit of apple on it. That's lovely. But I wouldn't eat it as part of a breakfast. White pudding tastes of nothing. I don't know why anybody eats it. Sausages that you get in hotels, are they're not like fried in a frying pan. They're deep fried some of the time. Depends where you go. Same with mushrooms. They deep fry the mushrooms. Mushrooms shouldn't be fried in oil. They should be fried in butter. So usually what I end up ordering if I'm out is bacon and eggs, but that's just not doing it for me. You want a little bit of, you know, tomatoes, veg, maybe, I don't know, vegetarian sausage or, you know, hash browns. I know they're controversial. They're not really typical part of the full Irish, but they are lovely. So I want to know,
I like a hash brown. Yeah.
Yeah. What is your idea of a lovely breakfast? Because the only time I've ever stayed over with you, Smacks, you went and got us a breakfast roll the next morning. You didn't cook first. So
yeah.
I'm wondering now,
obviously
what would you cook? What would you what would you order now if you were out for breakfast?
Can I just say, I feel like this is a trick question and like Maura is about to ask us something horrendous. Yes.
This is all innuendo. Black pudding is code for something else.
Black pudding is king. That black pudding is the first thing on my plate at a hotel buffet.
Yeah, I love black pudding and white pudding.
I can take or leave white pudding now.
Normally no more, I have changed from the breakfast roll tact. Obviously, I'm on a bit of a fitness buzz at the moment, so gone are the breakfast rolls. But if I was, say if I was going out now somewhere for my ideal breakfast, say cooking it now is a different story because I just go for handiness. So
you're out, you're in Dublin, somewhere jazzy now. What are you getting?
Oh, I'll tell you where is a very nice spot. Matt Hanlon brought me one time, is the Ivy.
Oh yeah.
Now it is so fancy, like people were there in suits and like we were hungover as Jesus next morning. But it's lovely. But my ideal breakfast is Eggs Benedict.
Yeah.
With two or three black puddings with it as well.
Oh, that sounds actually really nice.
I am made.
Would you, for people who don't know what an Eggs Benedict is, John, would you
Eggs
describe
Benedict
it?
Is basically, it's eggs on like a kind of toasted little bagel, I was suppose you would call it.
Scrambled egg?
No, it's poached egg.
Poached egg.
On bacon. Yeah. And then it has like the Benedict sauce is like kind of a, what is it, Maura?
Creamy, it's kind of yellowy. Yeah, it's mainly butter. Yeah, it's mainly kind of butter. Butter and flour. So yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But when I'm at home now, I have to admit, now people, you know, there's gonna be farmers around the place going bananas. I like a bit of avocado toast.
Oh,
I really like it. But the only thing is, the avocado has to be almost gone off in order to get it on the toast.
Soft.
Yeah, pure. Like, so you'd be going in Sioux Fellu or wherever other places are available for your shopping, and like I'd be like picking up the avocado, squashing it to death to see how soft it is. Like, and if it's not soft enough, then I just leave it there.
If I'm in a hotel, I just say as much scrambled egg as you can get on the plate.
Yeah, you eat a lot of egg, yeah.
Yeah, and then brown bread and black pudding, that's it. Rashers in America are just dirt to me.
Yeah.
Sausages in hotels, I do agree with Maura. They can be a hit and miss. If you're cooking home, you get the gourmet shit. You know what I mean? But they don't. Sausages in hotels can be hit and miss, lad.
There's sausages they do down here, and they're Uno Dwyer sausages.
Yeah.
And they have bits of black pudding in them.
Class.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they're incredible, Maura. They're really nice now.
That sounds amazing.
Eggs Benedict would be my choice. I know some of the boys We have a bit of a breakfast club going at the moment. We've went for the last three Sundays, a group of lads going for breakfast. Did you ever hear the likes of it?
You know, the pubs are closed.
Yeah, exactly. On a Sunday morning as well.
Do you hold hands, do you? No,
yeah, sing Kumbaya. We all meet up and we go for breakfast. And one of the boys loves pancakes. He always gets pancakes.
What?
Yeah. The sparrow.
For breakfast?
Yeah.
Animal.
Big dose of pancakes.
How do Americans do that, lad?
Look at the size of the Americans, lad.
Any American listeners, how do you actually have pancakes for breakfast, lad?
And why are your pancakes real thick?
Yeah.
Oh, I like the little flat pancakes, crepes. Huh? Oh, yeah.
Crepes. Sorry, Neil is distraught here when thinking about pancakes.
Just a revelation from the Extra podcast during the week as well. Neil, it turns out, is a murderer.
He's been in prison.
And he's been in prison. He's completely lied to us. Find out more on the Extra podcast. He's duped us. But yeah, Maura, eggs Benny for me and eggs and black pudding for JB.
As you get older, I think everyone stops eating cereal.
Yeah.
You eat cereal when you're in college and you're broke or as a child.
Yeah.
I don't know any grown man going out to do a hard day's work who's like having a bowl of cornflakes.
And he arrives home the other day with a box of Cocoa Pops.
Do you know, if you go to the gym and you're trying to bulk like, they always recommend you get Cocoa Pops.
Right.
You come out of the gym, straight away, eat Cocoa Pops. It's like really quick carbohydrates. Gets into your system really fast.
Yeah. Mm. I had a bowl.
You look great.
Thanks.
All people eat porridge.
Yeah, I don't like porridge. Never have. I don't like the consistency of it in my mouth. It's just wrong. Yeah, and I will say a snack that me and Johnny do frequent in garages is we'll often go in just up to the deli and get a bag of puddings.
Yeah.
We get four or five puddings and we share them and eat them away. That is our little treat to ourselves.
Bag of black pudding.
Does that answer your questions, Mara?
Yeah, it does. Very interesting. Very insightful.
And I promise you, the next time you come down and stay, I'll cook breakfast for you. I'll make you eggs Benedict or maybe some avocado toast.
Very fancy. Thank you.
Breakfast rolls are gone. Don't forget to rate, review and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag #TwoJohnniesPod, that's the number two, to get in touch. You can also email us on podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie and follow us on Instagram @thetwojohnnies. And you can say anything you want to us. Yeah. You know, you can suggest future topics. Have the crack. You can sign up to our Patreon, talk to us there as well, the whole lot. It's all there for you. Now it's time for
Yurt and Dirt.
Don't forget, Yurt and Dirt this week is brought to you by the good people at 48. They are changing up mobile and you can find out how on 48.ie. And the best news is, right, they're giving five lucky listeners each week the chance to win a 6 months free 48 mobile sim. To be in with a chance of winning, all you have to do is send us your yurt using the hashtag Yurt48. That's hashtag Yurt48. And you just put on any of your social media platforms. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. Just do a post, put that in it. Honestly.
6 months free phone, lad.
Think of the money you're going to save.
Yeah.
Think of the savings, lads.
Big money.
It's a good deal. So make sure that you do that this week.
Now, on last week's Yurt and Dirt, can I thank everybody who wrote in about the Pirates eye patch thing? It is, we have gone extensive research. It's not just for seeing at night. It's also for going below deck where there were no windows.
Okay.
So you could switch the eye patch over and then one eye would be accustomed to the dark. Thanks to everybody who wrote in about that. My yurt is, you know our favourite expression, tang?
Yeah.
A countryman.
Yeah.
A farming man, a boot cut jean man.
Boot cut jean, brown shoes, belt buckle wearing man.
Super dry hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Country and Irish, tang. There is a village, we're saying, called Tang.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have discovered this week that there is a GAA club called Tang GAA. Obviously, I went online immediately to try and buy all their kit.
Yeah.
And I was unsuccessful.
Oh.
So if anybody knows where I might get a Tang GAA kit, I want to buy it immediately.
Oh, that's a great yurt, man. That's
and just during the week, there was a great program on former Meath manager Sean Boylan. If you haven't seen it, look it up. He's a herbologist and changed Meath football forever. Very interesting man. So mild-mannered. And all the players, they were known for being like really tough, really rough, savage team, but great footballers too. And he was so mild-mannered. And every one of the players said, Sean never told us to do anyone, or he'd never say, get more physical. He'd never say get stuck in. He was just an inspiring person. Real mild-mannered, open-minded guy.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to a man who used to play for Cork. And he said he was on an all-star trip to New York. And they had to play Meath in an exhibition match in Gaelic Park in New York in the 90s. And they were in the dressing room. And from the dressing room next door, they could hear Sean Boylan screaming at the Meath players to get stuck in to murder these shower bastards. He said in our dressing room, the paint was curling off the wall.
Oh my
with
God.
Sean Boylan screaming at the team for an exhibition match
in New York.
Out of season in New York.
Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Legend of a man.
I'll start with my dirt, and it is quite simply, and it's all over the country, everybody's talking about dog theft.
Yes.
Some dose. Like, I feel really bad for people. Now, like, we have a dog next door, all right? I nearly asked the lads to take him, whoever is kidnapping these dogs. We need to clamp down. There needs to be some sort of, like, who's in charge of this? The guards, is it? Like,
I suppose, yeah.
We're going to have to find these lads. People are petrified. And I know as well, people are saying, like, if there's a cable tie outside your gate and there's chalk, or some people are, there's definitely lads going around too, marking chalk on people's houses just to freak them out.
Well, there was a case around Nina where the ESB had to come out and say, sorry, the red and white plastic on gates is us. We're using those gates for access.
No way. Yeah.
Stop taking them off the gates. But yeah, dog theft is serious.
This isn't a laughing matter.
You'd be some prick to steal someone's dog.
Yeah, so what I will just say to people is keep your dog safe and do be vigilant.
Yeah.
And call the guard.
Yeah, microchip them is very important.
Microchip your dog. Take the safety into your own hands.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I say. Yurt, Johnny, have you got a dirt?
We're playing hurling again. And once again, it's 7 p.m. on a Sunday.
Yeah, what is wrong?
What's wrong with you?
Should be banned.
What's wrong with y'all?
Going to finish real quick on a little small yurt. Obviously, everybody knows I love Last Chance U. Anybody who's a fan of that show on Netflix, the coach from last year's series, Jason Brown, he's got his own podcast called Slap Dick. Now, I just want to say, I don't agree with everything he says. Actually, I probably don't agree with anything he says, but he is a very entertaining man.
Yeah.
And that podcast is worth a listen because he goes through this series, The Last Chance U, and he points out some things. So that's my Earth of the Week. Man, he is... You think we're crazy? I'm going to listen to
his
stuff.
We need to get him on.
Yeah, we got it. More touch base with him. We got to get that man on the podcast. Okay. And then, finally, we will get sued. Yeah. So that's it for this week. Thanks very much for listening. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll see you next week. Go on. Good luck.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.